con Baseball. Fuck yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to your Tokyo Swellers podcast. Is it autumn? It's not really.
It feels like
no,
it.
No, there'll be another push of summer before.
It's almost autumn, late summer. We're here for podcast number 41. I'm David Watkins, your hostess with the mostess. And with me, as always, is Christopher.
Hello.
And Kozo.
Hello.
How's everybody doing?
Pretty good. Just came back from 3 weeks of vacations.
Swallows free vacation.
Yeah, I was up in the mountains of Oita with very spotty cell reception, so it was wonderful.
Freedom.
Yeah, just avoid anything to do with baseball, which is definitely a good thing. Chris,
I'm hanging in there, just back from extended trips, also to Kyushu, and headed to Korea on Tuesday.
Wow.
Well, you're a busy man, and you have a shochu event on Monday.
I do. I have a shochu event tonight, actually.
Shochu.
Number
41, anyway. Number 41. It's a number. It's a number of a fairly famous player in our time here, though he's more famous for not being our player. Do you know who that would be? Number 41.
Sorry, you confused me. I thought I knew who it was, but...
Ah. Come on. A friend of ours was... She was his number one fan.
Oh, what? No, I'm totally confused.
Wait, hold on.
Come on.
I thought it was Takai.
Yeah, I thought it was you here.
Oh, it is.
Okay.
Before him.
Are you thinking about now?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, this is wires crossed. Of course, Yuhei is now.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry. Before him, back in the day, when we first came here, it wasn't him.
41. Number 41.
41.
More famous for playing for another team?
Yeah.
Before us or after us?
After us.
Ah, Inaba.
Correct.
Oh, right.
Atanori Inaba from 95 to 2004 was number 41.
He is now the... manager of Samurai Japan, right?
Wow, yeah.
He is.
He's definitely more famous as a fighter, right?
Oh, absolutely.
No question.
Absolutely. He did win a champion. He won championships with us,
yeah,
but...
I think he did.
But he was a good player with the Swallows. An important role player.
With the Swallows.
And he became a leader after he went north.
And a superstar and kind of the face of that franchise.
Yeah.
Prior to...
Even with Shinjo there and Baldy as well.
Yeah, nice. Super... Seems to be a very professional dude.
He does, yep.
He was from 95 to 04. Then, you know, 6, he went, the number lay dormant for a year in honor of Inaba, I think. And then it was Masao Kida.
Oh. I also miss him. Isn't he in the fighter's front office now
or something? I think so, yeah. The journeyman that he was. He was number 41 for a year and then became 42 for the next 2 years of his Swallows career.
So we'll have to remember that for the next episode.
That was because, yeah, good. You remember that. I won't remember. I'll still go trawling through the book again. And then I guess he switched number because Takai at the time came in 07.
All right.
They wanted to give him 41 for whatever reason. And he had 41. And he used 41 with Takai on his shirt from 7 to 10. And then from 2011, he switched to Yuhei. And the rebirth of Yuhei was complete. And now he's one of my favorite players. And I really didn't like him as a pitcher. Really didn't like him.
I remember.
But he managed to pitch enough games to get 20 wins. And he became one of the few players in MPB history to have 20 wins and 20 home runs in a career.
Yeah, he's a special type of athlete. He's done very, very well. I just wish he wasn't injured again.
Yeah, again.
But anyway, Central League. It's a nice thing, isn't it? I think for non-Swallows fan or the general baseball fan, I think it's getting quite exciting, right?
Yeah.
The Carp are spluttering. They're 18 games above 500. They were on a bit of a losing streak the last couple of weeks, though, right?
Yeah, they had a losing record in August. Which meant they were one game under 500 for August.
that would be pretty good for us.
Yep.
Get out the confetti. Hanshin are now 5.5 games behind them. They're getting very excited.
And they get to play us and Chunichi a lot to end the season. So.
Yeah, and from the records and from all the stats, Chunichi and the Swallows are essentially the same team. They have very similar stats across the board: runs scored, runs allowed, ERA, team batting average. They're almost identical in terms of record, which is very, very depressing. The Bay Stars are 6.5 games back, but the Giants are just half a game behind them. So it's actually getting quite exciting as a whole, really. And the first top four teams are over 500. When did that happen this late in the season, I wonder, in the Central League? You know?
That's a great question.
I don't need an answer to that question. Yeah. A while, probably.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to Interleague, it's always been, all the teams are under 500. But I guess when Chunichi and the Swallows are sucking up all the losses for everyone else can have winning records.
Yeah, everybody can feel great about themselves.
Yep. And then it's B-class, which should be called the Z-class. Yeah. Which is the Dragons are 10 games behind, and we're 11 and a half games behind the Dragons in sixth. We're going to finish sixth.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I think that I bet we will clinch sixth place before Hiroshima clinches the CL.
Wow. What'd you get for that?
Absolutely nothing. There's very little advantage in tanking in baseball. Yes, we get to pick first or second in the second round of the draft.
Yeah. Brilliant. It's great. Yes. So the Swallows, before we get into the Swallows record now, which made my eyes water when I actually looked at it this morning, a while ago, a couple of weeks ago, they fell 30 games under 500 for the first time in 35 years. Thanks, Chris. That's the appropriate sound. Since 1982, when they ended up finishing with a 45-75-10 tie record. So that was oh my goodness, 35 years since 30 under 500. Now, they're 40 games under 500. It's amazing. They got a very nice 0.333 winning percentage, which is which is good. 40, 80, and 2.
Yeah. So, and we have 21 games remaining. So, if we keep that winning percentage, we will accumulate the most number of losses we've ever had in a year.
Yes, definitely. Well. I was looking at records and going back into time and looking at the Swallows' history. Not a very good team, but you knew that anyway. Yeah. As far as I can tell, our worst season came in 1970, which we had a 33-92 record for that year.
Yeah, for a .264 winning percentage.
That was when we were the Yakult Atoms.
Yeah, the first year of the Yakult Atoms.
Yes. And in that year, we kind of parallel this year in many ways. This year, we had two 10-game losing streaks. I think only the second team to have two 10-game losing streaks before the All-Star break. We've had a 14-game losing streak, which was the longest since 1970, where they had, get this, two 11-game losing streaks and a 16-game losing streak in the same season in 1970.
Shoot.
So we still push that, you know. We've had our two kind of 10-game losing streaks, and we had a 14-1. Oh, we can push for 1970, I think.
Well, they're playing a 130-game season, so I think our winning percentage will probably settle in the
it won't be
300
that.
Range.
It's not going to be, it can't be that low, 264.
Yeah.
That's just insane.
But our next worst was 309 in our inaugural season, 42-94-2 in a 138-game season.
Yeah, we
were seventh.
Looking back at those early years, I went through and it took the Swallows,
it took them 12 years to have a winning record.
Yes, it took them 12 years before they had a winning record. And even in that time, after that, they basically, there was a whole namings of the team that had no winning records. For example, the Yakult Atoms had never had a winning season. It was only 3 years.
Actually, the next winning season comes the year before our championship, right?
Before,
when they were 77? When they were the Yakult Swallows. So, they for the first 50 to 77, they had one winning record, the Swallows. They were a horrifically bad team. And then, of course, when we get into the 70s, and 78 was the first championship, and then the 80s, we were,
And then the 90s, we were shit hot.
Yeah, and they were the best. And then since then, we've been okay, holding our own, one in 2001, one in 2015, of course. But the first decades of the team, they were abysmal. So, but this year is, from looking at that, it is officially, and relieving to know, because I was just getting overly depressed, it is the worst. By far the worst season since we've been in the country. Anyway.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Without question. 40 games under 500, brutal.
Yeah, so in the two sixth-place seasons we had with Ogawa at the helm, we lost 83 and 81 games. So we'll hit that
Oh, easy.
This week.
Yeah, this week. Yeah. So it will be the worst.
Yeah, and under Furuta in 07, it was 84 losses, so...
We're going to, again, pass that.
Yeah, we're at 80 right now, so...
Yeah, we're going to sail past those numbers. Yeah.
And, so, and then the last 80-loss season before that is 65, when we lost 91 games.
Nice. Let's push for that. So
we've had more 80-loss seasons since the turn of the century than we had in a while.
So you were saying, Kozler, what would you rather us do at this point? Push for a historic losing season or try and, you know, win a few?
At this point, it doesn't really matter. So maybe let's just make some history, maybe make some big changes and move on with our lives.
Let the young people play.
Yeah, that's all I want to see. Anybody who doesn't have strong vested contract issues, like number of games and stuff, get them off the field and let the young guys play.
So a side effect of all this absolute trash is manager Manaka. He was one of our true or false questions earlier this season.
Right.
When we said, would he be back for next year? And I think most of us thought perhaps he might be, just on the goodwill.
But we said if we finish sixth, he'd probably be out.
Probably gone. But the front office saw it the same way, because they wanted him back. Because they feel that, you know, he does have ability and it's just been a shit show in terms of injuries. So not necessarily his fault 100%, but he declined that to take responsibility. He will be taking no other role with the organization as far as I know.
Yeah, so Manaka is now a lame duck manager, which is always great for team morale. He says he does not feel confident he knows how to win anymore. Confidence-inspiring words.
Get them young.
Yeah. Well, he looks really, really sad.
He does. He does. They'd like to focus on his face on telly and just look at his looks of disbelief and general depression, which is fair enough, because that's what my face looks like too. But who's going to replace him? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. I think the only realistic name that comes up right now is Takatsu.
But yeah, because of where he is in the organization.
Yeah.
With the Negan team. But that's not, doesn't really
fit. I think that would be just more of the same. Yeah, I think we need someone.
You need a fresh outlook. You need someone maybe mix things up a bit.
Yeah.
Takatsu would, and it's also, of course, Manaka didn't do it because in his rookie season, he won the championship. Right. But Takatsu may well be another one who would just sully his reputation and his standing with
right.
Him. Yeah. I mean, the farm team is doing okay, but I mean, it's just been a year, so he doesn't have a lot of experience.
And he didn't really cover himself in glory in his days with as a pitching coach in the latter part.
Yeah. So. And I think Miyamoto's name comes up, although he has zero bench experience. He's been a commentator since his retirement, so I don't want to see him.
No, I don't either.
I kind of do because I love him, but no, you're right.
No, he's also that very strict, old school
kind of coach.
But maybe that's the change of pace we need. But
it's been very relaxed in the last few years, right?
Yeah,
it's been much more of a relaxed kind of atmosphere. Furuta, of course, is always mentioned when anything comes up.
But I don't think
Furuta
is ever going to step in on a bench ever again.
I think
he has more fun, just less pressure being
Furuta.
Furuta Atsuya, all around talent. He doesn't need baseball.
No, he has.
Whereas other former baseball players like Miyamoto, I think they need baseball too.
I think basically when they've finished with their time with the team, if they end up on Pro Yaku News, they're probably going to go back into the managerial or the bench kind of cycle. That's the thing. Furuta is way above any Pro Yaku News kind of appearance. So I think, yeah, you're right. Another one mentioned Daisuke Arai, the old pitching coach back in the day. Of course,
he was supposed to be the manager.
Anointed one back in the day.
Yeah, until Ogawa just went ahead and started winning. Yeah,
Ogawa was meant to just hold the fort, but actually did quite well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, who knows? Who the fuck knows? I think you're right. Someone not just continuing the same policy and same story, maybe think of someone.
I want Rami-chan, but he's being too successful in Yokohama.
Yeah, Rami-chan's not going to. Yeah, he's got his own little niche carved out there.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't going nowhere.
I want somebody that the players haven't played alongside before. That's my only requirement.
Well, that's a pretty wide group of people at this point.
Yeah, so we have no fucking idea, basically. Chris, you up for it?
Only if I'm allowed to drink in the dugout. Heavily.
Okay, fair enough. They might consider you. Puddings are allowed. Betting's allowed.
That's right. Smoking apparently is allowed.
They draw the line at shochu and alcohol. Do they? I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, so that's Manuka where you have no fucking idea. Just waiting for the season to end at this point. Kawabata. This is the good news updates continue. He actually finally had surgery on his herniated disc. He was hoping to avoid surgery throughout the whole season and come back. But when he came back, I think he had some neck issue. And then while he was coming back from that, he had some lower back pain. And they thought, oh, maybe we'll get an operation on the original problem. And he's out, of course, for the year. So
no surprise there.
No point rushing anyone back at this point, right?
Nope.
So that's more bullshit. Good news, kind of, relatively. Coco Ballantyne. He's been perked up a little bit. Since, he's been generally okay throughout the whole season. Sure. But he started.
He had a really good August.
He did. And he's been dinging dingers. And he's now reached the 200 home run mark. Mm-hmm. The 102nd person to do that in Japan. The sixth quickest. It took him 707 games.
So he's at 29 home runs.
For this year.
For this year, which is a pretty good return. It is a contract year for him.
Yep. But we'll see if he hits more than 31 home runs, because if you look at his season records, I think out of his 7 years here, he's hit 31 home runs like four times.
That's his happy zone right there. So we can look forward to two more.
Yeah, and then he had the 60 home run year, and then he had an injury year.
So he's the sixth fastest. The fifth fastest was another swallow of the past, the voodoo man himself, Roberto.
Oh, Pettigini.
The fourth fastest was Tyrone Woods.
All right.
Third is the cult leader in Hanshin, Randy Bass.
Oh.
Two, Ralph Bryant. I have no idea who that is. And
his name's familiar, but yeah.
Number one's Tuffy Rhodes.
No.
Oh.
Alex Cabrera.
Oh, yeah, right. I should have. Actually, I probably wouldn't have guessed that.
I kind of forgot about him. So did I. He was huge when I was coming around.
Yeah, well, he was.
He was.
The dude. So Cabrera took 538 games, the fastest. Coco, 707, but one season or more of that was injured for Coco.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have been further on the list. He also became the seventh person in franchise history to hit five home runs in five straight games.
Which he didn't accomplish during his 60 home run.
No, he didn't, which we were kind of surprised at. Previous guys. You'll know since we've been here, there's been three other guys that have hit five in five. Who were they?
Aaron Gile.
Correct.
Alex Ramirez.
Correct.
Furuta.
Pettigini.
Pettigini was? Yeah. Oh, Furuta hit four in one game. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So they're since we've been here. So he's entered a fairly exclusive club there. Aaron Gile, bless him. What's Aaron Gile doing these days?
I think he's
living life,
maybe coaching minor league ball or something. His name popped up on Twitter a while ago. He's someone we can probably reach out and get an interview with.
They still play his cheering song during rain delays and stuff at the stadium. Style.
Yep.
He's a popular fella.
He always was.
He's one of the nicest.
Yeah.
No.
Class act.
Coco's in his seventh year, and that's about as long as Gile lasted with the team.
We've never had anybody who's stuck around long enough to be considered a Japanese player. I mean, Ramichan wasn't here that long, was he?
I think with us.
With us, no, he was not, because he became a Japanese player in Gomiuri Land.
Yeah.
There was talks about Tony becoming that player.
Right. He got close to, didn't he?
Yeah,
do you think Coco will be back next year?
That's a good question.
Depends on what happens with the front of the management. And
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
Stuff, right?
Well, we'll see. If it's business as usual, I think maybe there'll be a push to keep him. But
it seems like he's just from everything you know. You look at him; he looks very content and comfortable here.
Yeah, but I think there'll be other teams that would be willing to offer him more
Japanese
money.
Teams.
Yeah, Japanese teams. Although there's also rumors that he might. There's teams interested in back in the majors.
He was inspired by what's the dude's face, Milwaukee guy, the guy who went from Korea and started raking home runs.
All right, I don't know nothing about the majors. So
anyway, I think he was inspired by that guy. So he thought maybe if he can do it, maybe I'm still in with a chance. So we'll find out.
Either way, Coco will get paid next year.
He will. What else happened this year? Yes, this happened, and we totally forgot about it. It's basically this year's 60 home run stroke triple three thing. The thing that keeps the fans something to remember in the year of complete shit. It was a 10-run comeback that the Swallows did.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was one game of joy buried at the a season of heartbreak.
To be fair, I think I will remember more games from this season than I have in the previous seasons, because we also had the Carpocalypse.
We had the Carpocalypse, which we talked about in the last podcast.
And we've had a lot of Sayonara games.
There has been, yeah, a lot of them.
Because we've been falling behind a lot. But
we've been on the wrong end of them quite a lot as well, it feels.
It does feel that way.
Anyway, against the Dragons in the end of July, a month which took them like 15, 16 games to register a win at the beginning. Mm-hmm. The end of the month actually was pretty good. And one of those games, I think they swept the Dragons at home. They were down 10-0 at the top of the fifth. They then scored 7 in the second, 8 in the eighth, and then in the bottom of the 10th, Omatsu hit a pinch hit, walk-off home run, which ties the largest ever comeback in Japan. And it was pretty immense, actually.
Yeah. The night before was also a crazy game, which I went to. And it was kind of raining. It was late, but we still made like a comeback in that game too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was a good series. Yeah. It was the series that made me think, maybe.
Yeah.
But then no.
I think that was the last winning series that we won.
The end of July.
Yeah. And then you have to go all the way back to the end of Interleague between the next series win. So I think we can count the number of series wins we've had in like a single hand, maybe two hands if we're lucky. Haven't looked that up, but
garbage. Omatsu, he was the guy that hit the walk-off home run. He's hit two pinch hit walk-off homers this year, which is the fourth guy in MPB history to do such a thing.
Yeah. In one season?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the last swallow to do that was Wakamatsu back in 1977.
Jeez.
So Omatsu, he's turned into a bit of a, like, he was a kind of a cult figure in Chiba too, right?
Yeah, he was their player rep for a while too.
So he's had a pretty big impact here. They always
but that's all he's done.
No, I agree with you. So what he's done sticks in the memory.
Yes.
So you know what I mean? You remember that guy. He won't be one of these trades that we got that just forget about.
Yeah.
He's done his thing, even though his average is probably what?
170 something. And like, if he hits a home run, it's great, but I don't, when he comes up at the end of the game when we're down one, I don't expect him to hit a home run.
And they always put him into big situations as well.
Big leverage, which is why, he's had the opportunity to get two sayonaras, but.
So it's a nice story for him, but no.
He is not the future.
He's definitely not. I do not believe that Omatsu is the future. Next, a trade happened. That I didn't know anything about.
I didn't know.
Chris didn't know anything about as well.
That went right past me.
Sugiura. I think Toshihiro, is that his name?
Yeah.
He, 25-year-old pitcher, who was the kind of one of the up-and-coming hopes for the future.
He was the first round draft pick of 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
Probably five. Yeah. So he's been slyly traded out the door while no one was looking for a pitcher from Shogo Yagi, 28 years old, from Nippon Ham.
Side throwing right-hander who hadn't played on the first team at all this year, and we promptly called him up, and he gave it up in extra innings somewhere, and then he gave it up the next night, and then he's been sent to the farm, not to be seen again.
Successful trade there. Well done.
Nice work on the confidence too.
Yeah. So the rumor that kind of makes sense to me is that Sugiura has been very effective when he hasn't been injured, but he's been injured a lot. And the guess is that the Swallows know something about his injury or just feel he's not going to contribute at all, but they would lose face if they cut a first round draft pick who showed promise a mere like 4 or 5 years after they drafted him. So they traded him away to Hokkaido, where he's from.
And then they can cut him.
Then they can cut him if he's not successful, and if he's successful, well, good for him. Sugiura is also significant for having gotten married in the offseason to a newscaster who is also a former member of Morning Musume.
Wow.
Yay. So actually, a lot of headlines refer to him as the husband of the caster.
Wow. So he goes from...
First round draft pick to
the husband of an ex-star. Wow, well done. Anyway, he's gone.
Yep.
And Yagi, well, who knows? Another body in the pen. Talking of the pen, or not the pen, the pitching, rotation. Let's just have a little look at the state of the rotation.
All right.
Ogawa, he was thankfully yanked from his closer thing, which didn't work well. After we last spoke, after the car pocket, right? He was given another try and he gave up the tying run, I think.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite as car apocalyptic as the time before. Yeah. Thankfully, Manica saw sense and put him back in the rotation, after which he's been Ogawa, which is generally really good.
Been all right.
Ishikawa is kind of teetering, even though he's the last handful of games, he's getting better. He's doing his usual five runs, maybe three runs over five innings, kind of quality-ish start. But he's the active wins and losses leader at the moment. And he's
been all of MPV.
Multi-talented. Yeah.
Both wins and losses. He's a little bit over 500 now, I think. He's probably about 10 games above 500. So he's still on the right side of history. So he should retire at the end of this year. But Ishikawa is definitely struggling, and it breaks my heart to see.
Oh,
but he's still hanging in there.
Yeah, just doesn't help when he has no offensive help, right?
That's the thing for this. I mean, you're looking at I'm not even going to read out the wins and losses for the pitchers because it's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Ishikawa, we talked
about. Ogawa's 7-7.
He is.
He's the lone bright spot.
Yeah, he is. And he's
in terms of wins and losses.
Yeah. And his ERA is under 3, 2.87. Buchanan is again chipping away. But again, no run support.
But I want to see him back next year.
I do.
He is the future.
He is. He's got the right attitude. He's just worked his ass off. His head never drops. Yep. Always positive.
Yeah.
Gives his best at all points.
You know who's not the future?
Who?
Ross Ohlendorf.
He's not. He's back in the USA.
Yeah. With no timetable for a return.
Yeah, the MRI on his shoulder, which apparently there's no abnormalities, and he's just still a bit of discomfort, so he don't want to come back. So he's just chilling in America.
And getting paid.
I'm going to try that one day. Go to the doctor. Is anything wrong? Not really. Oh, I'm not really feeling up to it. Ross, maybe. No, not coming back, is he?
He's not coming back.
Then we got the two youngins, Hara and Hoshi, who are just plugging away, but giving up about five runs a game. And they occasionally have like good games, like one in every, say, four maybe is good. And then they have a super blowout game as well. So that's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of chipping away. They're getting experience. That's all you can really hope for at this point.
Yeah, yep. Just don't get injured.
Yeah, just getting experience. Just hopefully they don't fall apart. Your boy Yamanaka Kozo.
Yep, he's still in the rotation.
He is just about. He's doing
wouldn't be in a rotation any other team, but he's on our rotation.
He's doing his bit. He's getting knocked about a bit as well. He's not really having those shutdown games that he had in seasons prior.
No.
So he's trending kind of mediocre and to kind of awful.
Yep.
Which is a shame, but hey, he's in the rotation.
But he's starting tonight.
Yay! That's why Kozo is off and he's got his shirt on and everything. I like Yamanaka. I don't need to ask you, Kozo. I know you love him. Other than that, it's the rotation. Next year, like you said, Buchanan, hopefully he'll be back. Hara and Hoshi, of course, will be back. Yamanaka, Ogawa, of course, will be back. Ishikawa, he'll be back. So that's essentially the rotation of next year, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, we haven't had any other major surprises, so not recently anyway.
So you got that to look forward to. Yamada update. Got some news for you, boys.
He's less garbage than he was at the beginning of the
season. He's got a lot better in August.
He has.
He was hitting pretty well. But overall, 2.37, batting average, 20 home runs, 13 stolen bases. I hate to break it to you. I don't think he's going to do triple three for the triple three.
Maybe does he'll two, get three, three.
Triple twos.
Triple two.
But I don't think he's going to get the stolen bases for that. So
no. He would have to.
He doesn't get on base at all. He does now.
He just doesn't steal bases.
Especially now that he's not as aggressive.
So.
And the team is struggling to generate offense, maybe. Yeah. He's a bit second-guessing things now, I think.
Stolen bases are pretty hard on your body. So.
Sure.
So, Yamada, sorry, he's not going to do it. I know you got the T-shirt printed and everything. what else? Dean Green, we're really scraping the barrel here. Dean Green, the little chubby, should I say that? The little portly.
He's not little.
He's a big. There's nothing little about him. Correct. The chunky monkey, Dean Green, he got ejected from an E-gun game. He got a 50,000 yen fine and the copyrighted stern warning from the MPB, which they all get.
He's been hitting them out in Nigun though, right? Like when I went to the Nigun game at Jingu at the beginning of August, I think I saw he had like 7 home runs or something.
Good for him. I think he'll be back next year.
Who knows? I mean, we're not paying him tons of money.
No, we're not.
So.
Ohlendorf got the lion's share of the money this year for the foreigners. And he's off in America watching CNN or whatever he's doing. Okay. Other than that, I ain't got much more. Attendance this year is up significantly. It was up by about 9% through July, I think.
Crap.
And it's easy to say that that's, of course, the carp just pack out Jingu every time they come.
I think there are more Swallows fans.
There are more. They're absolutely.
The right field is also more packed than
it is.
Right field is never empty like it has in years gone by, especially in years, sixth place, years gone by seasons.
Yeah. I mean, evidence of the packed outedness is the fact that so many of the games are shiteseki games these days, right? Like big games anyways, they're always good. Yeah. Even the free seating in the outfield is all
a reserve seating, right?
Which is nice. It's the games that it's free seating where it gets kind of nuts sometimes and people are sitting
in the stairwells. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, those are not fun and they never used to happen.
No. But this in September, in losing seasons gone by.
Oh, it would
you
be.
You could go and just barren. Have sections.
Although I think now that summer vacation's over and the weather cools down, I think, and we're not playing quality opponents, there'll be more.
More elbow room.
More elbow room. Like in that, we're going to go to that Dragon series together. I don't anticipate that game will be packed at all.
So there you go. The Swallows they're doing good in terms of marketing and getting people.
Yeah,
bums
but there's seats. But there's no plan. Clearly, it's just let's get bums in seats. Like it's not like Yokohama where they're trying to cultivate a new fan base. So you get situations like last night where Hiroshima has taken over the entire infield and their outfield section, and it sounds like a Hiroshima home game.
And they're quite happy with that because the whole Swallows thing as well is they treat the opposition fans with the same kind of politeness and reverence as the home fans. Mm-hmm. So they greet them in the same way. Before the fireworks, they ask them, "Are you ready for the fireworks?" So they're treating them like an equal, essentially.
Yeah.
So they don't care who they as
well.
Long-
that yeah. So I think a lot of Swallows fans are kind of fine with that as long as there was a clear first and third base divide. But now that Carp fans are encroaching into first base infield side, those fans who want to sit in the infield rather than the outfield, which I think is crazy if you're a real Swallows fan. But hey, people have their reasons. They feel very unsafe. And the Carp fans now feel much more entitled and don't know the history of their own team. So, and they feel, oh, we're a strong first place team playing these pitiful last place losers. They should be happy to have our money.
Right.
Which.
Yeah, that's not going to win you many friends on the first base.
The new breed of Carp fans have now overtaken Hanshin fans in my dislike meter.
They are pretty annoying.
Yeah. Hanshin fans are just. But they know they're annoying, and they kind of want to be annoying, whereas Carp fans think they're doing you a favor.
They're oblivious to it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Baseball. We've only got another month of it. There's some weird scheduling coming up, all kinds of split games.
Yeah,
and like a week. Yeah, it's an odd schedule this year.
Do we have a bunch of makeup games to plug in?
Not
really
a ton,
No. I mean, let's put it this way. From all my report writing this year, I haven't had one that was rained out.
Neither have I.
There have only been two rainout games.
That's far.
I don't think many of them have been at Jingu either. Maybe they might be road games. So there's not going to be a huge backlog, but there is an odd schedule. There's like a week free at some point at the end of September, and then it's the game start. We've got like Giants on the Saturday, Hanshin on the Sunday at Jingu. We've got like weird stuff going on.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is what it is.
Mm.
I think basically they just expected more makeup games.
Maybe. And maybe a lot of those single games are from like home on the road games where they play two game series and stuff and they got to make up an extra game somewhere and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So the season right now is scheduled to end on October 3rd after a rain makeup game got scheduled.
Wow. So we really are a month.
Yep.
Month to go. A month more to endure. And then we fold the site up because
that's right. And then we're done.
We made the bold print. Well, Koza made the bold thing. Sixth place, and we're done. So,
we'll discuss the logistics of that in the next podcast. Yes.
Yeah, we'll have a chat about that in the next podcast. Anyway, anything else more to add, gentlemen?
You think anyone's going to retire?
Oh,
I was thinking about it. I don't think there's anyone.
I mean, we mentioned Tateyama before, but...
Right. Yeah, that's true. Tateyama, I think the big retirement game will be Monica's retirement game, basically.
Sure.
End of the season.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone else that qualifies.
Most people...
We don't really have super veterans.
No, most of our veterans have gone.
Yeah.
I mean, Hatake decides to please Chris and retire at the end of the year.
Yeah, they all...
Like, I forgot about him.
Yeah, he still exists, Chris.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't think Ishikawa is going to hang it up. So, yeah.
I think Tatiyama might be one. He might be mulling it over, you know, and like thinking, you know, because he hasn't featured at all this year.
Yeah, I can see Tatiyama retiring in the off season, and then we do something like a retirement game in the preseason or something. This the MPB just came up with a new 1 day contract system.
Sign them on and then
and like registering them on the active roster without having to like send someone down. Not that it really matters for us, but I can see Tatsuyama going a little less flashy.
I think Tatsuyama is going to be someone who ends up being employed within the organization as well, don't you think?
Yeah, probably.
I think almost certainly he'll slide off to some coaching role somewhere.
Yeah.
So there you go. Not even any retirements to look forward to.
Garbage.
We really are at this point. Anything else, gentlemen?
We will see if we make history, and we'll be back.
Yes, we will be back. We'll be back next month with what will, I'm sure, be the last one for the year.
Yep.
Because we haven't got that much more to talk about.
No.
So we're here to wrap it up. Check out the site if you want to read about more game losses. Follow Facebook.
We try to be creative.
We do. We do. You got to. You have to.
I actually, because I do Saturdays, I usually have a shot at a win because Ogawa pitches Saturday. So Wednesday, it's not so bad for me.
Wednesdays ain't so good. So yeah, we'll be back. Maybe at the end of the podcast, from the completely ridiculous of baseball to something a little bit more serious. We're going to give a shout out here to a friend of the site. A big friend of everybody's, a guitar player by the name of Toshiyuki Takeo. Who passed away recently. He wasn't a particular baseball fan, but he was a big friend of the site and a friend of us.
Yeah.
And we all loved him dearly, and he's recently passed away. So to instead of my usual bullshit outro music, we're going to play one of his tunes, a song called Rapture. So it's 10 minutes of guitar noodling, so enjoy it. But just to say, Toshiyuki, we miss you. And yeah, we love you, man.
We love you, Doctor.
So thank you. Goodbye.
We'll be right back.